3:15-16. If you take notes, I've entitled it The Devil's Favorite Temperature, Lukewarm. The Devil's Favorite Temperature, Lukewarm. Thus saith the Lord, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Before we look into this text, let's pray and ask God to open up our hearts and our minds. Father God, we do thank you that we have your word on everything, perfect word, absolute word on everything. And we thank you. And as we look into this passage, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak through me directly to your people. I pray you'd edify them. Pray you might convict them if that's needed, Lord. And pray that you speak to every soul here. And if there be one here today who knows not Christ as their Savior, we pray, Father, that today would be the day of their salvation, and it would please you to draw that one through the preaching of your word into your kingdom. In Christ's name we pray, amen. I know thy works, that you're neither hot nor cold. I would that you were hot or cold. So then, because you're lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. You see, the sin of the ancient church in Laodicea was that they were lukewarm, they were half-hearted, they were indifferent to God, that same sin that Laodicea had is also corrupting the 21st century evangelical church. How do we know that's true? Because the words "I don't care" are more commonly spoken in the church today than "I don't believe." You don't hear that too much, but you hear a lot of, "Well, I don't care, that's okay. I'm okay, you're okay." The church today, for the most part, is lukewarm for a reason. That's the devil's favorite temperature. He loves to keep the church, which is you. The church is not the building. It's not 10 Camp Hill Road. It is each and every one of you. And his goal is to keep you lukewarm. He can't possess you. He can influence you. And if he can get your faith and joy down to a lukewarm temperature, you won't be used by God. So although our text was addressed to the Laodicean church, I dare say it's addressed to every professing Christian today. Romans 15:4 reminds us about that. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. This Bible was written for a specific people at a specific time, and it was written for God's people all the time, in every generation. There's not one part of it that needs to be updated. It is absolutely perfect in every form. And looking at our text this morning, I find a complaint and I find a warning. Those are my two points, a complaint and a warning. And the issuing officer of the complaint or the charges is the chief cornerstone of the church. He's our Lord Jesus Christ. The words are in red. It's him that's saying it. In verse 4, look at verse 4. John writes, "These things saith the Amen, the true and the faithful witness." The Amen, the true, and the faithful witness are terms used to describe our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's because he is the only true and faithful witness of God, and that's because he came from God and he is God. There's no other truthful witness in this universe but our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus lays out his complaint by declaring, "I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold." When it comes to sin, I'm here to tell you this morning, and you've probably heard it from me before, the Word of God doesn't dance around it, doesn't try to minimize sin. It simply lays it out plain and clear, in a clear fashion, so that everybody can understand it. "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot." Now, he begins with, "I know thy works." Now, that's the way he addresses all seven churches in the beginning of the book of Revelation. He did that to impress upon the Laodiceans that he knew everything they did, everything, whether it was good or it was bad, he knew it. Proverbs 15:3 is a proof verse that he can do that. It says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God the Father is omniscient and omnipresent. Jesus is omnipresent. Right now, he's here, but he's in a million other churches around the world at the same time. He also wanted to remind them that he was, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, was more than qualified to reward or to judge their works. He wanted to remind them of that. Now, in the next section of the verse, Jesus tells them that they are neither cold nor hot. Now, the word cold, it refers to a figurative language or state, excuse me, it refers to a state where there was no spiritual devotion, cold. The church was lifeless, and it was cold. We use the same figurative language today, don't we? When we say a person is cold towards somebody, or that person has an icy heart, we're referring that they have no feelings for that person. It's just cold. And that was the spiritual state of the church at Laodicea. And it's sad to say it's the state of many churches in the evangelical church today. Today they are dead, cold, and spiritually lifeless. Now that sounds hard and harsh, but the fact of the matter is that is the truth. The spiritual coldness to God is seen in our Lord's remarks to the Pharisees. This isn't a new thing. This was going on with the Pharisees. In Mark 7, 6, and 7, he says, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. What they did was they took the law, and then they added to the law the doctrines of men and gave them equal weight. Churches do that today. That's why I'm not a fan of doctrines, because if a doctrine is in a church long enough, it isn't too long before that doctrine becomes a commandment, a man's commandment. And something is always lost when that happens. And in addition to being cold, our Lord brings another charge against the Laodiceans. He says, not only are you cold, you're not hot. You're not. Now, the word hot means the opposite of cold, of course, but it also means warm and zealous for the spiritual things of God. They weren't warm and zealous. They were self-complacent. They were indifferent. They were cold. And because they were neither hot nor cold, it meant that although there was a profession of faith by members of the church, there was no warm, heartfelt spiritual devotion to go with it. How common is that today in the liberal church? Where people make professions of faith, they go down the aisle, they say the prayer, they go into counseling, and they talk about wanting to give their lives over to Christ. And when it's all done, they go back to their old life. Cold, lifeless. The problem was, in churches like that, where people profess Christ, but they don't live for Christ, the problem is there's no open opposition to Jesus or his doctrines. They love it. Oh yeah, I believe in the Bible. I believe in God's word. I believe he was virgin born. He's the Son of God. He's sovereign. I believe all of that. But, and this is Billy Goat Theology 101, but on the other hand, these people have no love, no devotion, or no conformity to God's word from those who profess to be his disciples. Professing disciples have to be devoted to God. They have to love God. What is the first commandment? Love the Lord thy God with all thy might, with all thy strength, with all thy heart. Everything you got. That's basically what it says. Four things. Love him with everything you have. If you love God with everything you have, then you don't have room in your heart for anybody else. God first. Everybody else second. That should be the cardinal rule in every Christian's life. Even Jesus said it. Anyone that doesn't hate his mother. He wasn't referring to hate. Favoring his mother or his father, his brother, his sister, or even his own kids. Anybody that does that is not worthy to carry my cross. So God first in everything. But in a Laodicean church and much of the 21st evangelical church, all that's found today is cold indifference to the word of God. The church of Laodicea showed up for worship service just like people are doing right now. But because they were lukewarm, they had absolutely nothing to offer God. Nothing. And Jesus addressed that indifference in the next part of our text. Take a look. It says, I would thou wert cold or hot. He meant I would prefer you either being hot or cold instead of your lukewarmness. Be hot or be cold. Don't be lukewarm. Anything would be better than professing that you love me, but never showing it. Imagine that in a relationship. Oh, honey, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Well, honey, if you love me so much, would you take me shopping? No, I don't love you that much. No, I wouldn't say that, right? If you love her, you're going to go shopping. I told you the story in Bible study about Meredith wanting to see the new roof. And she said, bring some money. So I loved her enough to do that. I did. And that's what love is. Love is a demonstration of something. In a Laodicean church and many churches in the 21st century evangelical church profess Christ, but they don't demonstrate any love to him. They're indifferent to him. You love me, but you never show it. Or how about making vows and never fulfilling them? Or how about confessing your sins and not really repenting of them? That's worse. That's worse than not doing any of that stuff at all. So he says, I could wish that you were cold or hot. It's obvious that he would prefer his church to be hot, isn't it? And that means having a fervor or a zeal for God. And I got to tell you, that's the greatest thing in the world any human being can ever have. You can have a lot of things, but if you have a zeal for God, you got it all. And I don't care if you live in a cardboard box. You have it all if you have a love of God and a zeal for God. Let's use an example. How about David? David's a great example for a man that had a zeal and a love of God. Listen to what Psalm 27:4 says. One thing have I desired of the Lord. Not he's a king of Israel. He had a lot of money. He had power. But he said, one thing I want more than anything else. One thing I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Here's why. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Listen, I want to tell you something. Brothers and sisters, you whittle your life down to Psalm 27:4 and make that the one thing that you seek after, and everything else will be added. Sort of like seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then everything else will be added. God first. God first. But why would Jesus want his church to be cold towards him, right? He said hot or cold. Why would he want it to be cold? Well, it turns out, an icy cold heart is easier to regenerate than a lukewarm heart. An ice cold heart regenerates easier than a lukewarm heart. And here's why. A cold heart, if you got a cold heart, you know you're a sinner. Everybody knows they were a sinner. Before I got saved, I knew I was a sinner. A cold heart hasn't made a profession of faith. They haven't prayed the sinner's prayer. They're not a member in a church. They're worldlings with no religious association. None. That's what a cold heart is. So their heart isn't lukewarm like the hearts of the unsaved believers or others who practice false religion. So there are people who go out and they say, yeah, I made a profession of faith. Yeah, I was baptized. Yeah, I did this. Yeah, I did that. And yet you say, well, how's church going? Well, I haven't been there in a while. That's because they have a lukewarm heart, a cold heart. realizes that it's a sinner in need of a Savior, realizes I've got no faith in nothing. I need to make a profession of faith to God because nothing else will do. There's no pretense of religion with people that have a cold heart or others who practice the false religion. There's no pretense with them. Secondly, the worldling has no expectations from God. People with a cold heart have no expectations from God because they know they has nothing to do with them. They don't expect him to do anything for them because they don't love him, they don't obey him, they don't worship him. They know what the rules are. They know. It's written in here. They know it. So they don't expect God to do anything for them. As a matter of fact, if you ask them, they'll tell you, well, I try to live a good life and I'm just hoping for the best. There's no expectations at all. So when he calls them, people with a cold heart are more responsive and sensitive to the flame of salvation because their heart was cold. There's no pretense with them. And how about some biblical examples? You know I love the Bible. Two good biblical examples of people who were spiritually ice cold when they were publicans. Zacharias and Matthew. Both men developed a great love and a zeal for the Lord because they met him with an ice-cold heart. There was no pretense in either one of their hearts. So you see, there's more hope for salvation for those who are cold to God than for those who have a lukewarm heart. Our text also reminds us that even good churches can become corrupt. One time, this church has been around since 1795, if memory serves me correctly. And I dare say it's 1795, and for many, many decades after that, or maybe even centuries after that, this church was a good Bible-believing church. But there came a time when liberalism crept in. There came a time when the hearts of the people who sat in the same pews you're sitting in became lukewarm. How do we know that's true? Because the church at Laodicea, in the case of the Bible, is mentioned several times by Paul in a positive way. Writing in Colossians 2:1, the apostle declares, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea." Paul was referring to the fervent prayers, a prayer against false teachers that were coming into the churches at Colossae and Laodicea. They were coming in and they were wolves in sheep's clothing. They're tearing it apart. Paul also tells us his fellow laborer, Epaphras, had a great zeal for the church at Laodicea. In Colossians 4:13, he wrote, "For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you and them that are at Laodicea." And in Colossians 4:15, Paul writes, "Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea." He called the Laodicean church brethren, so they must have been doing something right at that time. This is proof that at one time that Laodicean church was held in high regard by Paul and others. But somewhere between the years between the book of Colossians and the book of Revelation, somewhere between those years, something terribly wrong happened to the church. Something terribly wrong happened to the church. And I want to remind you, we're not talking about a building. It happened to the people in that church. Within just a few short years, the Laodicean church went from a Christ-orientated church to a lukewarm church. Just like that. The church that Paul and Epaphras and others fervently prayed for fell from grace. When I came here, Ichabod was on the door. It fell from grace. It's sad to report that even today, in the 21st century, we see many good churches going the way of Laodicea. They're going away. They're getting corrupt. They're becoming seeker sensitive. They're more worried about building the church than they are of keeping the truth and keeping the church holy and clean. It doesn't matter how many are here. I would remind all of you listening that Jesus Christ, the first church, had 12 people in it, and one of them was a devil. Numbers don't matter to God. Always, what matters to God is quality, never numbers. It seems the fire of salvation and the truth of the church today has been smothered. And today in the evangelical church, many, many hearts are just lukewarm. You know why? Or what happened because of that is that the modern church today has driven the Lord away from the church. Sad to say. He says, I stand at the door and knock. That isn't the position our Lord occupies in a biblical church. He's not outside a biblical church knocking on the door. Matthew 18:20 says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Jesus Christ is right here this morning in the midst of us. He doesn't knock on the door. And Paul, after he lays out the indictment, against the church, the Lord gives us the consequences for having a lukewarm heart. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. The metaphor Jesus is using here, it describes his feelings about lukewarmness, and what those feelings are is vomiting or spitting up. I know it's tough. Sounds a little coarse. But that's what the Bible is. The Bible always tells it the way it is. Now that's an image, and that image is pretty strong. I'll spew you out of my mouth. Even if you just use those words, it's pretty strong. But it reflects, those words reflect the deep disgust that Jesus has for those who are indifferent to him. You can't claim him. You can't pray to him. You can't go into his book and claim his promises. You can't do any of those things with a lukewarm heart. You're mocking him. That's what you're doing. It's a disgust that he has who are indifferent to them, and here's why. He created you. He saved you. He was despised for you. He was tortured for you. He was nailed to a cross for you. He bled for you. And you're going to try to worship him with a lukewarm heart? That's why he really has a deep disgust for people that do that. And all you have for me is a lukewarm heart. Jesus is right to be disgusted, isn't he? He should be disgusted with anyone who professes him and has a lukewarm heart. Jesus never minced words. And the word, his Bible, is the only book that states things just as they are. I said that several times, but it's so true. You won't find any fluff in Scripture. You won't find any dressing up the truth. There's no whiny reasoning to dilute the truth. There's no adding on and no addendums to it. There's no yearbooks that come to the Bible later on. It's just the truth, like it or not. It's God's truth. It's the absolute truth and the only absolute in this world. That's what makes the Bible so glorious, beloved. It speaks the truth in common, everyday language that even a child can understand. You know, I tell people all the time, they say, well, the Bible's kind of complicated. Complicated? Let me ask you a question. Do you know what thou shalt not means? Do you understand this sentence? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you understand this sentence? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Or how about, come to me all you are that are weary. Are those difficult concepts to take down in your mind? No. The Bible is meat and potatoes simple. It's when people try to get complicated with it, when they want to dig down to China. Listen, I got to tell you something. I'm a meat and potatoes guy. When I get to the level of the depth of where a potato would be in the ground, that's where I stop. Because I'm after the fruit. I'm after the application. I'm not after all the theology. I have the doctrine. That's all I need. The doctrine and meat and potatoes, and I'm good. So I make the Bible very simple. Simple to understand. And these are some of the reasons why anyone can understand the Bible. Thou shall not means don't do it. I can do all things means that I am spiritually energized by God. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. That means that his providential plan is guiding my life. I'm just living it. Simple stuff. And scripture tells us lukewarmness was offensive to Christ 2018 years ago. And I tell you, standing here today as his minister, it's still offensive to him today. The sovereign God is immutable, never changing. So lukewarmness is still a sin in the 21st century. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Never going to change. If he hated it and it was sinful then, something didn't change the sin and turn it good. See, that's what man does. There was a time in this country where if you had an abortion, you'd go to jail. It was a felony. But something happened, and I can't figure out what it was, but now it's not a felony. Now it's okay to do it. Do whatever you want. I don't care. God's not like that. It was a sin 2,000 years ago. It's a sin today. Nothing's going to erase that. And you don't have to believe it. You don't even have to like it. But that's the way it is. Our text promises that he will spit out and reject any church or individuals that are lukewarm. That means every lukewarm heart will taste the death spoken of in Revelation 20:14-15. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I want to tell you something. I talk a lot about hell. You know why? Jesus spoke more about hell than he did about heaven. It's important to understand that. And as believing Christians, you have to understand that a lukewarm heart can cause you to apostatize from the church. In other words, you're cold, you're indifferent to God. And what that basically means, doesn't mean you lose your salvation. It means you never had it to start with. If you have a lukewarm heart, you'll know it. No one will have to point that out to you. You know it. And if you have a lukewarm heart, then you need to get on your knees and you need to ask God to save you because you're not near God. Or some believers that are really saved by God, they get a lukewarm heart. Why? Well, something happens in their life. It takes their faith and it's their joy and just drops it about six levels. What happens when your joy and your faith drops? What happens? Everything gets lukewarm. It's no longer hot. Every single time you give ground to the enemy in any way whatsoever, every dart that you allow the enemy to put in you, that you don't repel with the shield, every time sin comes in your life and you don't cut the head off of it, it reduces the temperature of your faith. And sooner or later, if you do that long enough, you're going to reach the perfect temperature, the devil's favorite temperature, lukewarm. That's where you'll end up. Those that have ears to hear, let them hear. There are several reasons why Jesus is offended by a warm heart, and I'll just name a few of them. If I say that I don't believe that what Jesus teaches, if I deny Christ in the Bible and what he says, then what am I? I'm a liar, right? Okay. But if I say I do believe what he teaches, but it's so unimportant that I don't pay any attention to it, I've insulted him. There's a big difference. I basically said, I believe your truths, but I despise them so much, I won't give my heart to them. That's basically what you're saying when you have a lukewarm heart. And that's far worse than calling the Lord a liar. Far worse. Another reason is because a lukewarm Christian compromises God before the eyes of the world. How many times have we seen Christians do that? How many times have we seen Christians, chronic complaining Christians? You ask them how they're doing. Oh, I'm hanging in there. It's tough, but I'll get through it. The Lord will help me, I hope. The world sees that. All of us here, if you've been a believer for any length of time and you've lived a believer's life, you know that people watch you. They wait. They wait to see if you're going to make a mistake. And you know why they do that? Because in a very strange sense, they know that you have something that they don't have. When you're going through something difficult, you need to have that faith to know that all things work together for good to them who love God and are called according to his purpose. When things don't work out or you're afflicted, when that happens, you have to know that I will never leave you nor forsake you, that he's with you through thick and thin, that you are bone of his bone and flesh of his blood, flesh of his flesh, blood of his blood. You are in Christ. And that's a standing, and that means that God's promises and everything in there belong to you, but not if you have a lukewarm heart. Because if your heart is lukewarm to God, you have to be very, very careful. And that's what happened at Laodicea. It was a strong church, but people came in, and the church was corrupted. And when we compromise God before the eyes of the world, in a sense, we're giving Christ a black eye. The world sees a man who professes to be going to heaven, but his lifestyle and his religious habits tell a different story. Others believe, Christians profess to believe there's a hell, but somebody with a lukewarm heart never offers prayers or tears for the lost, no compassion. And a lukewarm heart rarely ever shares the gospel with the lost soul. And all of us, every single human being that lives, we reflect into the world what's inside of us, don't we? Whether you're lost or saved. A lukewarm Christian, what do they reflect? A wishy-washy image of their religion, and that's what the world sees. The lukewarm heart pays little attention to obedience, to Bible study, sin, worship, holiness, just to mention a few things. And that indifference to God is reflected into a sin-drenched world. What a testimony. What a testimony. When something happens in your life and you don't react the way a Bible-believing Christian should react, the world sees it. And this is what the devil's doing. Worse yet, a lukewarm heart reflects the image, and this is worse than our testimony. It reflects an image of a lukewarm Savior instead of the sovereign God. I told you the story, and because it applies here, I went to a funeral, and after the funeral, we went to somebody's house, and the Christians were in one end, and the worldlings were in another end. And the worldlings were opening up wine, and the Christians had nothing to do with it. And being a new Christian, I went in there, and I hadn't seen my cousins in a long time. And they said, oh, would you like some wine? I think about it now, it was like the devil offering Eve, hey, want an apple, or whatever the fruit was, right? So anyway, I said, sure. And they all watched me, and the moment I took they waited until I took the first sip. And then they said, I thought you as a Christian wasn't supposed to drink. And I looked them right in the eye, and I said to her, and I'll never forget, it was my cousin Martha. I said to her, I said, no, the Bible says I'm not supposed to be drunk. It doesn't say I can't have some wine with a meal or even with you, just not to be drunk. And I'm going to tell you, they all went back like nobody had ever said that to them before. And so the point I'm trying to make by telling you that is they're watching you. And I never did that again. Although I was biblically correct in what I did and what I said, I didn't do that again because I don't want anything to besmudge my Savior's name or my faith. Nothing. And even here on earth, as Christians, what do? We're going to deal with sin. We're going to deal with eternity. We're going to deal with death. You have to deal with heaven. You have to deal with hell. You have to deal with afflictions. You have to deal with Christ. You have to deal with Satan. You have to deal with lost souls. And the list goes on and on and on of all the things that a Bible-believing Christian has to deal with. So the question is, how in the world can you deal with all these things if you have a lukewarm spirit? How do you do it? The answer is, you don't, you can't, and you won't. You don't, you can't, and you won't deal with those. in a biblical way if you have a lukewarm heart. If you're listening to this message and you've made a profession of faith in Christ, but your faith is lukewarm, if that's you, my advice to you is you better do something about it. Because the promise of our Lord's will is, if you're lukewarm, he will spit you out of his mouth. That means there's no place for you in heaven. And let me ask you, are you prepared for that reality? Are you prepared for the reality of spending eternity in the lake of fire? Think about that. Think about what you're gaining right now by being indifferent to Christ. Think about all the benefits, so-called benefits you're gaining by being indifferent to Christ. And then ask yourself if those are worth being rejected by Christ, being rejected by God, and ending up in a lake of fire. You have to ask yourself that question. If you want to turn the temperature up in your spiritual life, you see me after the service, or if you're listening online, you call me, and I'll show you in God's Word how he wants you not to have a lukewarm heart, but to be hot for God. For my brothers and sisters in Christ, if God is important to you, if you're truly born again and God is important to you, then show the world the fire you have in your heart. Show it. The fire you have in your heart for your King and the Savior, your Savior, Jesus Christ. Let your life every day reflect the spiritual fire that's burning within you. And just as importantly, let your spiritual fire spread to others, especially to those who have a lukewarm heart. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that you're so clear. Lukewarmness is not something that you'll tolerate with your people. So God, we pray that if there's anyone listening and they have a lukewarm heart, they are indifferent to you. They don't practice their faith according to Scripture the way we should. And Lord, I know we all slip at that, but most of us, Lord, and when we slip, we see it. And we get those ice cleats back on and climb that mountain of ice trying to get to the top. And we get back in the race, back on the narrow path. Lord, would you help us to keep doing that? And if there's one listening today who knows your Son as Savior, Lord, and yet they have a lukewarm heart because the trials of life have beaten them down, have lowered the temperature to the devil's favorite temperature, God, would you strengthen that one? Would you help us, Lord, in speaking to that one to strengthen them, that they would no longer have a lukewarm heart, but they would burn hot and bright for the God that saved them and loved them so much. We ask it in Christ's name and for your glory. Amen. Final hymn.